You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters. My name is Adam Torres, and if you'd like to apply to be a guest in the show, just head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, so today is a very special episode. We're welcoming Colin Plume onto the show, who is author in one of our upcoming business leaders books. Colin is also CEO of Noble Gold Investments. He's host over at a brand new podcast that we're going to get into. Also, I have a YouTube channel, Noble Gold IRA. So we'll get to that as well. But Colin, first off, hey, just want to say welcome to the show and welcome to the community.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me. Excited. I know it's been a while since we've done this, so I'm excited to get back on here. And a lot has changed, at least in the financial market, since we spoke last.
Yeah, absolutely. And I will definitely be talking about investing in gold to protect wealth. We'll get an update on what's going on in the precious metals market overall as well. But before that, we'll start this episode the way that we start them all, with our Mission Matters Minute. So Colin, we at Mission Matters, we amplify stories for entrepreneurs, executives, and experts. That's our mission. Colin, what mission matters to you?
My mission as a business person, at least starting out, was to educate people on alternative investments, precious metals. That's what we've been doing at Noble Gold Investments for almost 8 years now. And it's really done something special in the community. We've built a group of clients and our, through our employees, sort of a family environment of educating them on something totally different. So that was really how I got started in this. And now as I've been growing as an entrepreneur, I'm growing into lending my time to nonprofit and donating my time, but also really just continuing to focus on education in any kind of field that I'm in. And that's really what drives me today as an entrepreneur.
So great having you on. And I want to get this kicked off with maybe just going into like how did you discover and really get into the precious metals business and educating people on how to protect their wealth? Like, where did all that start for you?
Yeah, well, it started when I was a child. My grandfather collected old silver coins. It wasn't uncommon from people during the Great Depression to have some silver, maybe some gold if they were lucky. And they just typically saved it. And gold and silver were money. Silver was still used as money until 1970. So our quarters and dimes and nickels actually had silver in them. So that my first exposure was my grandfather bringing over some silver coins and taking a look at that. And then my father also had a collection of silver coins. And so I was fascinated that, these coins actually had the metal in it. And I got to learn about why silver is important. And obviously this was, almost 40 years ago that I got my first exposure to precious metals. And then over time, I just kept those. I received them from my grandfather and then ended up in a number of different careers and then ended up kind of fell back into precious metals almost 14 years ago. So a lot of in business, sometimes it's things come full circle. And so falling back into precious metals was a full circle moment for me, from something from my childhood all the way to something that I'm very passionate about. And it's something I do every day, which is, obviously gold and silver or something I really love.
Yeah. And one of the things, so I had the, the collection when I was a kid. I feel like that was a big deal when I was a kid. And I just love it. Like the idea that you can touch it, like you're holding up something over there. Like, what are you holding up?
Yeah. So this is a 1 ounce Canadian maple leaf coin. It's a 24 karat gold coin. It's a bullion coin. We sell a lot of these. Obviously we sell a lot of American Eagle coins also, but this is a very popular coin and, with gold really moving pretty dramatically over the last, 2 to 3 years, we've sold a lot of these. And then I have a 5 ounce silver America the Beautiful coin, which is probably one of the most beautiful coins minted, modern day bullion coins minted by the U.S. Mint. And then I have this U.S. flag 10 ounce silver bar that we actually came up with this idea. We minted this bar and I don't have many of them left. We sold so many of these bars. It says United We Stand on the back of it. So, yeah, just a brought out a few things that I like and some of the things I had stashed away to show you. But yeah, it is the idea of holding something, Adam, and having it in your hands. And, you know, I remember that people said, you know, when you'd see donations in a jar and they'd say they'd rather have things that fold instead of things that jingle. But I think in today's world with what's happened with the dollar, I think people actually prefer things that jingle. Things like this are much more valuable than the dollar is going to be.
Yeah. And so just taking that concept a little bit further. So a lot of different ways to invest in gold and to invest in precious metals. So whether it's, you know, through the physical product like you have yourself, whether it's through, you know, ETFs, there's a lot of different ways. And some of that will be maybe beyond the scope of this conversation. But I do want to go a little bit down that path, because I don't want to assume, especially for those that are maybe new to the thought or the idea of investing in a precious metal and the hard, you know, substance, and also some of those newer concepts that may be new for some, maybe old for others, but the idea of like holding it in their IRA or other things like that. So maybe just to get us kicked off on that piece of the discussion, maybe a little bit of an education of maybe the difference between like holding the physical asset versus maybe like an ETF or holding it, you know, of some other form.
Yeah, in essence, an ETF, you're just buying a contract, you're buying a share, whether you buy like GLD or SLV, you're just buying a share of a company. Now, some of these companies say they have a certain amount of ounces of gold or silver. There's a lot of speculation on how many ounces they hold. Some people believe it's usually like 100-1 is a ratio that I've read many times. So it's a way that some people want exposure to gold and silver. Another way would be buying like mining stocks. Some people buy those. Now, obviously, you know, the idea is the mine finds more gold and silver than they were able to you know, sort of anticipate. And those can do very well. And then for people that invest with us in Noble Gold Investments or want the ultimate control, they'll buy the actual physical metal. And a lot of people aren't even aware that you can buy these items and hold them. And so, yeah, we can ship this gold and silver to somebody anywhere in the country, or they can store it in a depository, or you can actually roll over any IRA or old 401k into physical metals. A lot of people aren't aware of that you can do that, because most 401k plans or IRAs are based in mutual funds or stocks. But there's actually, Adam, there's a lot of items you can put into an IRA that people aren't aware of. You can buy real estate in it, actual real estate, not a REIT. You can do private money lending. There's a pretty big list. But most of the major institutions sort of keep you, the Schwabs and Fidelis, they're going to keep you in their mutual funds and sort of those things. That's sort of their wheelhouse. But we focus on the alternative investments, gold and silver. And then I also have a company called My Digital Money that does, you can actually acquire a cryptocurrency in your IRA too. So I'm really focused on the alternative investments, gold, silver, and cryptocurrency in an IRA.
Yeah. And I'll talk about, you know, my experience for a moment, because when we think about alternative investments, so, you know, a lot of the larger companies, they don't necessarily provide that access to alternative investments, and not saying anything wrong about them, and not saying you're saying that either, by the way. So meaning for those that have been listening to my show for a long time, they know I was an advisor and I was, you know, in the financial services industry for almost, you know, 12, 14 years, somewhere around there. And, you know, I invested for quite a bit of time on behalf of other clients and myself. And when we think about like access to alternative investments, you know, those aren't always available. And so normally you have to go to some type of specialty company or a company that you know, like I said, specializes in that, like yours. So can you maybe talk about, and again, for those companies that have never, where they've only worked with maybe some of the big box brands, let's call it, like, talk about maybe some of the differences or what it's like to work with your company versus maybe some of the others. Like, is it pretty like simple? It's like, what's a feel for that?
Yeah. And I think to go along with what you're saying, it's different companies have a vision of what they're focused on, and you're not going to go to McDonald's to get a taco. And so it's important to work with individuals that have the expertise in what you're buying, for instance. So, you know, we don't do any stocks. We don't do anything leveraged in any leveraged way, precious metals. We literally just the ounces, the grams that you buy, you're buying that exact amount. Whether we store it It's stored in segregated storage. It's yours. We actually just ship it to the depository and it's held by you, or we ship it to you. So we really specialize in this, and we've sold, you know, just to give you an idea, frame of reference, in the last 2 years, we've sold over $1 billion in gold and silver. So
and that's billion with a B, right?
With a B, yeah.
We sold that's a lot. That's a lot.
It's a lot of metal, a lot of pounds of silver, a lot of pounds of gold. And we've shipped it all over the world, anywhere in the country. You know, you name it, we've shipped it there. You name a state, we've shipped it there. And so it's important for people to realize that when you're doing different investments, when you want to talk about stocks, you talk to, you know, what Adam used to do, financial advisor. If you're going to get into the physical metals, you want to talk to someone that's doing this every day. And the reason is a few. One, the quality, right? I mean, you want to make sure that the product is in perfect condition, and the product can vary dramatically. And if you get coins or bars that are not in the best condition, and they're not, it could affect the value of what you're selling down the road. So you really want to make sure you go with a dealer that has a good reputation. And obviously you can read the reviews, but there's lots of reviews of companies that say it's BU, which is brilliant uncirculated, and it's not. It ends up coming, you know, tarnished or scratched. So that's the first thing. Two, obviously the fact that we've sold a lot of metal, I get better pricing, right? As opposed to a coin shop, as opposed to a local dealer. And I'm not saying that some of those dealers don't do a great job, but when you have a limited supply on your shelf and it may sit there for a long time, the pricing is going to be different. I remember watching remember that Pawn Stars show?
Oh yeah.
With the guy Rick. So yeah. I remember watching when they went into the drawers and they had some silver there. They were charging anywhere from 20 to 35% more than what I was charging on the exact same items on the day that I was watching that show. Because that product could sit there for a while. They could have bought that product at a higher price, and they need to make back that money. The difference between us is that we basically sell between 10 and 15 products in gold and silver and platinum. So when people sell back to us, we're literally moving that same product out. So we get great pricing, we buy it back, and we pay a very fair price for clients. But we're moving a lot of inventory. I don't have 500 items that are sitting on the shelf. So that allows me to offer really great, you know, pricing on the items that I have. And that's going to be a benefit to someone coming in new, is they want to get, I think it, what everybody wants, you want to get the most bang for your buck when you're buying a product. And also you want to make sure you don't buy the wrong product. There's a lot of rare coins and stuff that you can buy. And I tell people, you're starting out, until you know what you're doing, you want to avoid those things. You just want to get the base metal. You want to focus on really, you know, these 10-ounce silver bars, you know, these are bullion. You're going to get the most weight and the most bang for your buck with these. So that's why it's really important to go with someone that's seasoned, that's been around, and it can save you a lot of money. And we've not only sold $1 billion in gold and silver over the last years, but we've probably saved people hundreds of millions. Because people have called us and thought they were buying the right product, and they were buying a product that was marked up 20, 30, 40. I've even seen markups of 60%.
Wow.
Companies out there. So it is important to really take your time. And we tell people too, like, take your time, do your due diligence, review us, check out our reviews. So it is important that you go. And a lot of times the gold and silver, it can be an emotional decision because they want to get out of the dollar or they want to move something around. But it's still important to make sure that you buy from the right place at the right time, and you make sure that you check them out before you make a purchase.
So, Colin, shifting focus slightly here, inflation, protecting against inflation. When I go to the grocery store now, I swear I feel like it's a buck and egg already, inflation. I feel like my parents now talking about like the price of milk or the price of eggs or something like that. It's going up and up and up. And when I think about, you know, the conversations and money being printed, it's not stopping. And that's my opinion. I'm not claiming to be an economist, but it's not stopping. Talk to me about inflation and the use of gold and the concept around using it to hedge.
Yeah. Well, and I remember when they finally started reporting, you know, what inflation was. And in my opinion, still the numbers are wrong. I mean, it's probably not 30 or 40% higher than 6 to 8% they're reporting. because obviously they pull out a lot of the CPI. But I remember,
stop there for a second. Isn't that interesting? Don't you wish that like you could just pull stuff out of whatever number you wanted to make it?
Well, if you go to, I'll plug a guy, John Williams, who's an economist, a Dartmouth economist. He's been studying government statistics for like 45 years. Mm-hmm. He has a website called shadowstats.com. Mm-hmm. If you take the CPI, the way they calculated the CPI when Ronald Reagan was in office, mm-hmm. and you applied it to today, what we're doing, inflation is anywhere from 15 to 18%. That's the actual true number. And so that was how they calculated the CPI before they started pulling a lot of the factors out of it. So it's obviously much higher. And everybody, and like you're right, you're not an economist, but when you go to the grocery store and eggs are, you know, $6 for a dozen, everyone's going to talk about that. You have to talk about that. I remember reading an article on some news network and it was saying like, basically telling people to stop eating eggs. Hmm. And it was like, well, you know, some people like eggs, you know?
I like them.
Huh?
They're a luxury now.
eggs are a luxury. Yeah, exactly. And so I think what gold has done is, mm-hmm. and if you look at it, you know, in terms of what gold can do in terms of inflation, if you go back, say 100 years ago, and you had a 1 ounce or $20 gold piece. So, you know, in circulation, we used to use gold. So let's say you went back to 1918, for instance, and you had a 1 ounce gold piece, which is basically this, but in an American Eagle coin or a St. Gaudens coin, you know, that $20 back then could buy groceries, you could afford a lot back then with 20. You could basically take your family out to eat, mm-hmm. You could buy a suit. I mean, you could afford a lot with $20 100 years ago, or 1 ounce of gold. And then you look at today, 1 ounce of gold sitting at $2,000. What can that buy today? It can buy groceries. You could buy a suit. You could take your wife out. You could even stay at a hotel for the night for that same. So the gold, the same 1 ounce 100 years later, is able to buy more than the $20, right? Mm. So that's something that is the basic idea behind gold, is that it keeps up with your ability to buy things. And that's what everybody wants as they go into retirement, is they want that ability to afford the same things. They want to be able to afford healthcare. They want to be able to afford food. And so that's the idea, is that it helps with purchasing power, because at the end of the day, gold and silver are limited supply items. And our dollar is not. I mean, that's why, you know, they're talking about, you know, the Republicans are talking about creating a bill because, you know, our debt ceiling needs to be raised again. And they're trying to make some cuts. They're pleading to make some cuts so that we can stop having this conversation every year about raising our debt. So, so we're in a very difficult situation in our country, is that we have this unbelievable $32 trillion in debt. We have to keep raising the debt ceiling. We have to keep, you know, expanding the money supply to sort of keep up. And now we're in a weird position that we've raised interest rates so fast that the economy is slowed, and we're seeing massive layoffs in tech and a lot of other industries. So we're in a very unique time in our history. We have these high interest rates, we have low growth, low hiring, you know, heavy inflation. Mm-hmm. And so people are sort of struggling of what's going to happen next, what's going to happen this year. You know, housing prices have obviously pulled back dramatically. The housing sector has slowed. So a lot of things are happening right now that are sort of giving people pause on what's going to happen in the future. And they're nervous about, you know, traditional investments. They don't know, should I put more money back in the stock market? Should I buy more real estate? Should I put my money into bonds? But through all of this, you know, gold and silver, you know, year to date are up 20%, and you know, it's looking really good for the commodities market.
And so, Colin, one of the statements, and when anyone makes a statement like this, that gold, there's a finite amount. I mean, the obvious where somebody's head goes to is maybe, you know, there's only so much in the ground, or so much we found. Like, that's the obvious. But I don't think what many people consider is maybe the utility of gold, and the fact that, sure, there's only so much, but then maybe the use case for it is also growing. So when you have, you know, a finite amount and the demand like that, that can be an interesting thing for individuals and investors. Investments in general. Can you maybe talk a little bit about the utility of gold and what that looks like?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing about gold that makes it so unique is that it has three different uses, right? You have gold in central banks, you know, the tremendous amount of gold buying that we've seen last year was the biggest central bank buying we've seen in almost 20 years. So you have it as a currency sitting in central banks. And, you know, those buyers are typically net buyers. They're not sellers. They're going to hold it and keep it in their coffers. Then you have the jewelry demand, right? You have jewelry, which obviously, you know, everybody loves gold jewelry. And, you know, it's a big part of all over the world and India and all these countries that buy it and they give it away during wedding season. So you have this massive demand there. Then this new thing is the industrial uses, as you mentioned, and, you know, people don't talk about it, but it's using a lot of electronics, obviously the first thing, but a lot of medical devices, heart monitors, a lot of things that go in the body because it's safer to put in your body. Gold is, I mean, even on a sort of ridiculous level, I'm sure you've seen, you know, now they're putting 24 karat gold on at high end steakhouses. I don't know if you've seen that because you can actually consume it. Now, I'm not a doctor, so don't take my word for it, but they are putting it on steaks because it's safe for the body. So a lot of medical devices, they're using gold there. And so, yeah, so you have these three uses. And you're right. There is a limited supply. The gold supply above ground grows by 1 to 1.5% every year. So it's not that much, considering all the mining that's going on out there, all the production to try to find gold anywhere in the world. And obviously, a lot of that slowed down during COVID, and that, you know, helped with the price. But it is harder to find gold today than it was 20, 30 years ago. It's going to continue to get harder. Gold's not like diamonds. You can't just create gold. It has to come from the earth. You have to find it. So that's something different about gold than some of the other metals out there. So yeah, you're absolutely right. The industrial demand has skyrocketed, and there's only enough gold above ground to fit in 2.5 Olympic sized swimming pools. So that's not that much if you think about it, and all the people that use it and all the central banks that's holding it, you know, supposedly the US has 8,100 tons here at Fort Knox and Bank of New York. So a lot of that gold's not going anywhere and it's never going to get circulated back in the market. So it's unique in that it has these three different things that it does. And it's, you know, obviously desired and been in the Bible and people have talked about it. So it's something that's been used in currency for at least 5,000 years.
So Colin, I want to switch focus here just a bit. And for everybody watching this, just so you know, we're not going to go too deep into the book that we're releasing together today. I'm kind of keeping it high level, but don't worry. We will be bringing Colin back onto the show once the book is actually out and live. And then we're going to do a deep dive into the content, but consider this your teaser. So Colin, the upcoming book, a lot of things you could have written about, a lot of angles. I mean, as a successful entrepreneur, as an investor, what do you plan on presenting on the upcoming book?
Yeah, I mean, I think we dive into some of the things we discuss, what's been happening in the gold market. And then we really talk about silver a lot and the silver revolution, things that are happening that people are aware of and maybe not aware of, that, you know, there's just not enough silver out there to fulfill all the needs. So I really talk about that and how silver is really coming to the forefront. And a lot of people are starting to talk about all these, you know, anything green involves silver. So we really dive into that a little bit. And then I, you know, sort of just get into my business philosophy of how I deal with consumers and clients and employees. But yeah, obviously don't want to give away too much, but I sort of...
I'm going to cut you off there. That's a good teaser. I'm like, okay. I'm like, we'll do that. We'll do the cut on that one. We'll do the book, everyone. Don't worry.
Yeah, they'll have to read the book.
So I am interested. So obviously as entrepreneurs out there, a lot of business owners, entrepreneurs, executives, investors that watch this show. And what I find very interesting is that you've managed to, obviously your business, I love specialists. You have 5 core products that you're mentioning right now. And I don't think you're getting into the, not holding it against if you do, but I don't think you're getting into the gold stake business anytime soon. It doesn't sound like, but I know you'll sell the suppliers their gold. I'm okay with all of that.
Yeah, I'm not getting into that.
One of the things that I find interesting about your brand and the way that you've decided to be a benefit, which you don't have to, is you've decided decided to take your knowledge and then also, you know, use that knowledge to be a benefit to others through both your YouTube channel and now your newly launched podcast as well. Let's maybe handle those two separately, because I know there are separate contents for a separate audience, or I should say themes. Maybe let's start the podcast. I know that that's the new one. Talk to us a little bit more about, you know, why you decided to launch it and the type of content that our listeners can expect. And I say our listeners because I want all of my listeners to go definitely check it out.
Yeah, the Noble Old Investments podcast was started, the YouTube channel was started because we were giving out free PDFs about gold and silver, platinum, a number of things. But a lot of times people didn't have time to read through them. They're very comprehensive, or they wanted something that was more current, or a lot of times people just wanted to watch a video as we're talking about today. So we have on the Noble channel, on that YouTube channel, we have over 800 videos on there over the last about 3.5 years. And so we have some long form and we have some short form. Mm-hmm. And so for people that just want a quick little snippet of what's happening in the market or an update or something that's happening either on the industrial side, as we discussed with some of the metals, or something happening with how our money is being handled or the banks or just in general, the YouTube channel really handles that in a quick manner. We have videos that are 2 to 4 minutes long. So if people that are in the market that want to just continue to get updated, that's a great place to go. And we try to keep it brief and fun. And we do fun videos too and highlights. And so we do, you know, obviously a lot of serious stuff. We're talking about investing in metals, but then we talk about, you know, some other stuff like the gold stake or stories. You know, there's a story that just came out about this, you know, the $14 million gold heist in Canada. So we'll talk about those things that are happening too. And then the podcast was really set up as I've been mentoring entrepreneurs for a long time. And so I think what the idea was sort of to bring other people like me that are self-made millionaires, people that have built a business, that have built success, that have a reputation out there. I wanted to bring them in and talk to them about what they're doing and get some insight. We're in a few weeks, we're going to get some, I'm going to have one of the most successful commercial real estate agents is coming on. And then I have a residential agent coming on, you know, and just talk about the markets, talk about what they do and really try to, from the inside out, like be able to get some kind of insider tips on ways that they can improve and maybe, you know, go down the same path. So it was just conversations that I've had in mentoring and now I'm having them on my, you know, on my podcast.
So there's something that I always like to bring up in these type of situations, and that's really the idea of content creation. And I always get on my audience and I always talk about how, you know, if you're out there, you're a business owner, especially if you're a successful business owner and you've done something, like your responsibility to create content. And I do use the word responsibility often. I'm not saying that you said that, I'm saying that. But the idea that, for example, your Noble Gold channel, like I want to hear content. You have over 800 videos, you mentioned. I want to hear content from the guy that sold $1 billion in metals last year. Like, nothing against the YouTuber or the individual that is really good at social media and that, you know, is just interesting and wants to, you know, create some content. Not saying for that person to stop doing it, but what I am saying is for the person that sold, you know, $1 billion in metals last year, I'm saying that person needs to step up, which you have done. What are your views on more seasoned entrepreneurs and executives like yourself and others out there that are kind of still on the fence when it comes to getting out there and creating some content? Like, what are your views on what it takes to get that done?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing is it takes a long time. I mean, you know, just physically, this setup is like our probably fifth setup, and it takes a long time to find a setup that
looks great, by the way.
Yeah,
awesome setup. Overnight. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't happen overnight. We built this, our office has a studio. We have a podcast room. Even the podcast room, I'm still not 100% happy with. So we're, you know, and I'm sure you go through this too, Adam, you're always.
This is our fourth setup.
Right, exactly. And you keep changing. But the thing is that I'm not going to wait to make a podcast until that room is perfect, right? And I think that's something that, and not that I haven't been doing this for a long time, but it's something that the entrepreneur Gary Vee talks about. It's like, don't wait because it's not going to be perfect. And I've been doing that. I just came up, was like, we need to do content. I need to get out there more. I need to talk about what's going on. So I think it's just starting and not being afraid to not have the perfect setup is probably what holds people back the most, is just their fear of not looking perfect or it not sounding perfect. And it's not going to sound or look perfect in the beginning anyway. It just takes time to sort of get out there. And I agree with you that it seems like a lot of these content creators that are giving you all these great ideas to get rich or to, you know, the next scheme, they haven't really done anything on their own. I mean, I look into these and I watch them on Instagram or I see them and I can't find any substance into what's actually, I don't really understand how they make any money besides either selling a course or selling ads on their channel. But that's not a, that, you know, I guess selling the course is a business, but if the course doesn't get you to where you need to go, then it doesn't matter. And so, I'm skeptical of a lot of what's happening on social media. And that's probably why a lot of entrepreneurs are afraid to do it. They just don't want to, you know, have that first thing. Maybe it's not perfect. And then they just feel like a lot of what's getting out there is just, it doesn't really work anyway. It's not true. A lot, the most, you know, authentic ones, there's, you know, not many of them out there that are really giving you authentic, good advice. And the rest of them are just, you know, trying to sell something that they have that really hasn't been proven. So, so that's why, you know, when I came up with the idea with the podcast is that I'm really going to get, you know, going to give insight into what I've done, talk about some of my secrets of my success, but really talk about, you know, everything, talk about my failures. I was involved in an internet startup in my 20s that just went belly up very quickly. So I've had a lot of failures too in my career. And so it's not just all, you know, rosy, and it's not all that you're going to hit this. It's you have to go through bumps. And I think you, like being a financial advisor yourself, like you learn things there that are, you're applying today. And a lot of, so much of it is the experience. So the idea with my podcast is to give people insight into that. It took a long road to get here. A lot of things happened in my life. And a big part of it is my wife too. My wife has been such a rock for me through my whole career, really just helped me in so many ways. And, you know, when we were down and out, she was there and really not only just financially was there and supported us for a number of years, but just her advice and having someone that is, that has like a good sense of just people and business, her help has been immeasurable in my career. And so that's a big part of it too, that I'm going to get into the podcast, is having a wife or someone or husband or whoever, partner that you can really trust that has a good sense. Those things can help you just as much as anything else.
Man, it's a great message. And what I hope is that the more people that come on this show and encourage and, you know, lead by example, because this is what you're doing. You're leading from the front line. You're leading by example. Like when I talk about this, I mean, I tell people often, like, we started this show and all of this, you know, with headphones and an iPhone, and it was an old iPhone. And my first 400 interviews were recorded over the phone, maybe more than that, actually. And it was pretty straightforward, but we managed to keep doing it. We built an audience, and then little by little, we built that just like you built a company. So for those out there that are thinking they have to shift their entire focus, like I say, start small, start. Like, it's the first episode I had, Colin, I invited the other co-founder here, Chirag, onto the show. And that was my first ever interview. And why? And because I was scared. I didn't even know what to do. I didn't even know. I maybe watched an interview on TV, but I didn't know what I was doing. You know, after 5,000 interviews, maybe I still don't know what I'm doing, but I'm trying. Like every day I'm working harder and harder at the craft. And I only say that not to say I'm great or anything like that. It's so that other people watching this, like, you understand, like, we all start at a certain point, and maybe it's not podcasting. Maybe it's not YouTube. Maybe it is. Maybe it's writing a blog. Maybe it's a newsletter, but it's something. And there's some way that you can give back value to the market and to the ecosystem based off of your experience. And for those really seasoned entrepreneurs out there that aren't doing this, like, it's time to start because we need you, right?
I think if you are you know, and it's a way to build your brand, right? Mm-hmm. It's a way to get yourself out there in a way that's, you know, more affordable typically than some of the other ways you can do it. I mean, you can buy your way into, you know, Forbes, or you can buy your way into a lot of different magazines, but this way, it takes more work, which is probably maybe part of the reason people don't want to do it. It takes time. Mm-hmm. But you can get the message out the way that you want. And I think that's, you know, that's a real benefit. And for most people, hearing from the owner in a business is going to help your business. And you know the product better than anyone, you know the process, you know your team. So you being able to express that is always going to be better than it coming from somebody else or not coming from you at all.
Yeah. Well, Colin, first off, it's been great having you on the show today. I'm looking forward to launching this book with you and continuing to build the relationship and also to have you in our community. I just have to ask, I mean, what's next? What's next for you? What's next for content creation? What's next for your business? What's next?
Yeah, no, I have another business that I'm pretty close to getting involved with. So, you know, that's always fun. And then, you know, just focused on, you know, the brands, Noble Gold Investments, My Digital Money, you know, is our cryptocurrency brand that has really started to take off. We build something that's different than what anybody else has out there in the cryptocurrency world. And so it's something that we're really proud of. And then, you know, obviously this new venture that I'm getting into. So it's exciting for me. It's, you know, being around people that are excited about these new businesses and building a team and seeing something really flourish, like from beginning to end, is really what makes, you know, business exciting for me. So I'm just excited for the future and everything that we're growing here. And I just appreciate, Adam, you having me on and you know, the book's going to be great. I'm really excited about that coming out and I won't give any more details about the book, but I'm excited for it to come out and for people to read it.
Yeah. And as I mentioned before, for everybody watching, we'll be bringing Colin back on the show when the book is live to talk about it. Of course, if somebody is watching this and they want to, or listening to this and they want to follow up and connect and learn about, you know, Noble Gold or, you know, the podcast or YouTube, like what's the best way for people to follow up?
Yeah, they can go. Noble Gold Investments is our website. So they can go there, phone number's there, they can call in. And, you know, I would say if they want information on gold, it's good to call and just get your questions answered right away. And then we can send you out all the free materials. Or if you're interested in crypto and putting some cryptocurrency in your IRA or just buying crypto directly, our trading platform is called My Digital Money. So you can go and check out that website. We are IRA approved for cryptocurrency, someone looking to do that. So those would be the two places. And then obviously the YouTube channel, Noble Gold Investments, and the new podcast, Self-Made Millionaire Tips. I hope everybody enjoys that. And that's our new baby that we're kicking off here, just a few weeks old. And we're excited to see where that's going to take us.
Fantastic. And we'll put all of those links into the show notes so that our audience can just click on the links and head right on over. And speaking of the audience, if this is your first time with Mission Matters or engaging with an episode or listening to one, we're all about bringing on business owners, entrepreneurs, executives, and experts and having them share their mission, the reason behind their mission, really what wakes them up in the morning, like what gets them fired up to go out into the marketplace and to make a difference. If that's the type of content that sounds interesting or fun or exciting or engaging to you, we welcome you. Hit that subscribe button because we have many more mission-based individuals coming up on the line and we don't want you to miss a thing. And Colin, been a pleasure. Can't wait till the next time we get to do this. Thanks again for coming on.
Thanks, Adam. Have a good day.